We come this morning to our second sermon in our series, Spirit-Filled. Now, hopefully. Well, that's the title of this morning's sermon, Be Filled with the Spirit. But actually, it's number two in our Spirit-Filled series, looking at different aspects of the Holy Spirit. So let's come straight away to our scripture, which is from Acts 2. We're reading from verse 1. We're reading the first 13 verses together now. Hopefully, it will come up as well. So Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all those who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." What does this mean? Is the phrase that stuck in my head as Sharon asked me last Sunday evening what my outline plan was, and I kind of went, don't know yet. Apart from this phrase, what does it mean? I can't hope to give a definitive answer to that question, much as that would be marvellous, but hopefully I can share a few insights that will kind of give us a little bit of a better understanding. First and foremost, quite often we read this passage in isolation. I have to confess to being guilty of that last week. We started our Pentecost praise. But the context is important. Over and over again, we're reminded that we need to look at our passages in context to find out what was going on before, to see what leads up. So let's have a look at the context of this passage. Let's remember that the disciples and the wider group of believers had not long experienced the shocking events of Easter. They are a mere 7 weeks beyond the loss of their Lord to the cross and the grave, before the mixed emotions of confusion and elation that surrounded the resurrection. And Acts 1 tells us that over a period of 40 days, Jesus had appeared to the disciples and spoken to them about the kingdom of God. And he'd also instructed them to stay put in Jerusalem and wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he's taken from them again. He's raised in glory, which means his disciples, his followers, have lost their Saviour not once but twice. Firstly to the cross and grave, and then to heaven. And now they're waiting, as he's instructed them to. So the disciples, they gather together and they pray. Fervently and constantly, passionately and regularly. What else do we know? As we look at the historical context, we know that the events of Easter took place around Passover, and that we now encounter yet another festival. There were three key festivals. There was the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Weeks, which is where we encounter now, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So Jerusalem would have been filled with rather a lot of people. The Feast of Weeks takes place 50 days after Passover, and it's very specific in the Hebrew calendar. Leviticus and Deuteronomy both tell us that this one was calculated by being 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. So according to the calendar, at the appointed time, the city of Jerusalem is once again filled with people who have gathered from far and wide to make the customary sacrifices from the harvests. So we've got Jerusalem full of people at a statuary festival, and we've got the believers gathered together as they wait and waiting as Jesus had instructed them to. And on that specific day of Pentecost, something supernatural took place. The coming of the Holy Spirit was marked by sights and sounds. So we come with a question on our lips. What does this mean? What did the supernatural coming of the Holy Spirit mean for the disciples then? And what does it mean for us today? So firstly, the disciples. This group of men and women had faithfully followed Jesus over those three years. They'd witnessed his miracles. They had prayed with him. They'd lived with him. They'd journeyed with him. They'd listened to his teaching. But it's also worth remembering that these are a group of men and women who have probably travelled little further than the areas around Jerusalem and Galilee. They primarily spoke Aramaic, and most likely a particular dialect from the Galilean area that was different to that of Jerusalem. They were most likely emotionally scarred. They've been through a whole roller coaster of emotions over the past few weeks. They've had confusion and grief and anger and despair and joy, and they're a bit overwhelmed with what they've just been through. So it drives them together. We're told there are about 120 of them, but they come together. They are compelled to be with one another because their friend, their leader, Jesus, is no longer with them. The person they'd shared so much life with, seen such amazing things with, is no longer there. But they are remembering his instructions, and his instructions were, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you heard me speak about. And so they wait, and at God's appointed time, the promised Holy Spirit comes. And he comes in a way that demands analogy to describe it. Luke does his best by saying that it's like with a sound, with the wind. It was a sound. He said there's no mention of it blowing, but he does his best to describe what it was like. It was perhaps a noise like a tornado tearing through the room. It was a heavenly sound, and it was loud enough that it attracted a crowd. And he came with a sight, fire that appeared from nowhere that separated into separate tongues. And within that lies that a sense of purification, that when something is refined with fire, that the impurities are burnt away, leaving the pure substance behind. And think about the connections with fire through scripture that we've seen. We had Moses in the burning bush, the pillar of fire that led the Israelites through the wilderness. And Hebrews 12:29 says that God is an all-consuming fire. So the Spirit comes to purify God's people, burning off the contamination of the world and preparing them for action. And he came in speech. His third sign was audible. And as the disciples began to speak in other languages, that must have been such a miraculous, bizarre occurrence to suddenly find yourself speaking in a tongue that perhaps even you don't understand what you're saying. And their small gathering, the small gathering of that 120, suddenly turned into a very large gathering. We're told that 3,000 people came to faith that day, but that wouldn't have been everybody there. That would have been a proportion of the people they were among. Just think of the impact of that, from going from that small group of 120 people to out into that busy street scene that we saw there, gathering in the temple where all the people were. Remember also that Jesus had told them that they had to go and make disciples of all nations. He told a group of people from a local area in Israel that they had to reach the nations. That must have felt like an impossible task. But now they can speak and be understood by people from different nations and different areas. So they are transformed by the presence of the Spirit. That coming of the Holy Spirit in sight and sound and speech brought about a sudden and powerful transformation in the lives of those disciples. And as the fire has flickered above their heads, now the fire of faith flickers in the lives of those to whom they are speaking. These people were open to God. They were Jews. They were there for the festival. And a faith is now born in them, that they understand that their long-awaited Messiah has now come. And as this faith was shared in unknown tongues, as that faith of Christ was awakened in the hearts of those who heard the message in their own language for the very first time, in those moments, the church was born. An extraordinary work of the Holy Spirit, that on a single day, 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ. But almost as soon as the people heard the message of Christ, they left the city of Jerusalem and travelled back to their hometowns. the newly formed church immediately dispersed. They didn't hang around. They didn't meet regularly for weeks and months and grow in the faith. They went. And they shared the extraordinary events of that day as they went on their journey and as they went back home. And more people came to faith as a result. So the gift of different languages was given to demonstrate God's purpose in taking the gospel to all nations, a message not just for the Jews, not just specifically for a small group of people, but for the nations. Good news for all people from all nations. But what does it mean for us? The first thing to remember is that what is absolutely key is we are here because of them. We're here because of that initial inspiration of the Holy Spirit that empowered a few people to impact a lot. From that experience of the Holy Spirit, in those breaths of those first disciples over time and over generations, through the ongoing inspiration of the Spirit, breath after breath after breath, in language after language after language, the gospel message has been passed on, person to person to person, to you. And you, and you, and me. We are here because of that first inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now just imagine for a moment that if each of us had come here from the towns we'd grown up in, and just like the Jews had gathered here, like the Jews had gathered for the festival, and we've come this morning and we've encountered the Holy Spirit, and the impact on our lives is so amazing, so life-transforming, so wonderful, that we left for our homes and we take that transformation with us. Where would our message go back to? How far would it travel if we took it back to the places where we grew up? Or where we're even from this morning? Where would it go? Call out the places. It would come from. It would go to London with me. Where else would it go? Kent. Sorry? Kent? Cardiff? Manchester? Ireland? Tyneside? We're getting further away. Cornwall. So just think of the impact just from the people here of where that message would go back to. But it's not just that we have come to know Christ for ourselves, and it's not just that we have the Spirit with us encouraging and comforting and inspiring and guiding and leading us. That's great. In fact, that's more than great. That's amazing. That's wonderful. But there's more, because just as we're united through the movement and action to those in ancient days, so too are we united with one another here because of the Holy Spirit, as God's family in this place, but also as God's wider family. But God has called us to be family here together, and we are drawn together by the Holy Spirit to worship and serve and live and share, to determine God's guidance together about what we do here, how we use our gifts and talents, as well as the money that we give to God each week. We're to listen to God and each other's voices so we can discern the mind of Christ together. Brian mentioned the AGM tonight. Tonight's church meeting is a key part of our coming together in his name, to listen to God's voice from each other's lips. Because we are here together so that we can act together to bring about his kingdom in this place. And if we don't listen to each other, if we don't spend our time praying about what we feel that God wants us to do here, and if we don't share it with one another, how will we know? How will we be effective people in this place? But we're also called to be effective outside of this place. We're called to be effective in our home lives and in our workplaces and with our friends. As we have looked at over the last few months, with thinking about how God uses us on the front line when we're not in church. But we've gathered together today in this place. Why? We've gathered together to share in worship and praise God, to spend time in his presence, offering our worship and hearing his word. We have gathered to listen to one another's prayers, to hear what matters to each of us, to hear what events in the world or in our own lives make our tears fall or make our spirits lift. What is it that makes our hearts ache? What is it that drives us forward? And we gather to support and care and love and journey with one another through the ups and downs of our lives. Some of you know that I have a favourite author, Barbara Brown Taylor, who's an Episcopal priest in America. And she explains our connection like this. What happens between us when we come together to worship God is that the Holy Spirit swoops in and out among us, knitting us together with the songs we sing, the prayers we pray, the breaths we breathe. It can happen with 2 people and it can happen with 2,000 people. It can scare us or comfort us, confuse us or clarify things for us. But as far as I can tell, the Holy Spirit never bullies us. We are always free to choose whether or how we will respond. We've gathered today so that we meet with the living God who meets with us, connects with us through the Holy Spirit. And that this meeting with God in word and song and worship and prayer and each other's presence might cause us to go from this place as changed people. We have gathered that we might go. We've gathered to leave this place inspired and invigorated and empowered and refreshed by this encounter with God and with each other. Empowered that we might go and live lives that will be noticed as different, that will impact other people, who will question why we do what we do, why we act as we do. We come that we might go. Now, as a church, we have a mission statement. Can anyone tell me what it is? That's interesting. It's on the website. Excellent. Well done. Loving God and loving others, from Long Levens. Woohoo! Go and read the website. From is the key word here. We're loving God and loving others from Long Levens. Perhaps we need to practice a little bit more, because that's what inspires us to be a people in this place. This is the start of God's mission for us. But we can't do it on our own. We need the Holy Spirit working in us and through us and equipping us with word and action. Words when we don't know what to say. Action when we don't know what to do, and enabling us to move when we don't know where to go. E. Stanley Jones, an American Methodist missionary, once said this: unless the Holy Spirit fills, the human spirit fails. Unless the Holy Spirit fills, the human spirit fails. So let's ask anew for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh on us today, this place. His wind, that we might allow our lives to be spirit-driven, allowing his power to guide us and direct us, where he works through us rather than us trying to do things in our own strength. His fire, that we might be refined and purified, such that our hearts no longer want to do our will, or be partly mine and partly his, trying to arrange a broker a deal, but his will and his will alone. And his speech, that we might be enabled by his gifting and not restricted by our own limitations. But we can want the power without the purity. We want the benefits of the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's people coming to faith and the presence of the Spirit with us. We want all those good things. But with the power of the Holy Spirit comes truth. We can want revival without repentance. We can want to be comfortable in our experience of God without accepting that we need to confess our sins, without wanting to work on our hearts. But Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we need to be real about the Holy Spirit. We need to be sure that that's what we really want. Because if it's what we really want, we have to want both the power and the purity that calls us to start with ourselves, with our hearts, where we are. With a cry to God to change us from within. But we have to be ready to be convicted. We have to be ready to own up to what it is that we have not done, that we should have done, or that we've done and we shouldn't have done. We have to be ready to own it and confess it in repentance. And if we do that, he will honour that and purify us and set us free from all that holds us back from being the people of God that we should be. So what does it mean? The coming of the Holy Spirit means that the presence of God is with us always. Through the Holy Spirit, we are purified and refined, and by the Holy Spirit, we're empowered to do things that we could never do on our own. And just as the disciples, we are to wait on God. We are to ask him to come, and we will receive. But then we are to go. By God's grace and through his power, and in doing so, the impossible becomes possible. So let's be inspired, literally meaning the Spirit is in us. Let's tune our ears to hear what he is saying to our world today. and let's depend on his Spirit. He's an agent of mission to use us to bring about God's kingdom, something we can't do in our own strength, for the language of faith is so radically different to the cultural language around us. It's almost as if we are speaking a different tongue. And may he working in us equip us to speak to others by his power that they will understand what we are saying. And let's not doubt that he's able to do that. Let's be moved by the Spirit in all we do and all we say, so that by God's leading, with his words, we go and do his action, what he's calling us to do. And we're also growing our understanding of who he is and what he does. Let us be filled by his Spirit. Let's have hearts that are open to him, moving among us, working with us, working through us. Let us be willing and available for him to use us, willing and available for him to come. And let's expect him to act, that he will do as he has promised. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. It's not a possible, it's not a might, it's not a maybe, it's a will. Not an empty promise, but a definite reality. So let us pray fervently for a fresh indwelling of the Holy Spirit each and every day. Not just when we are together as God's people here, but when we are on our own at homes or when we're with our families at home. Let's come to God and ask him for his Spirit to fill us abundantly. So that through the work of the Holy Spirit today, God's fresh revelation will be revealed, that we might speak and act and show his love, that wonderful, everlasting, redeeming love that has brought us into relationship with him. We want that for everybody else, don't we? It's a love that can set everybody free, just as we have been set free. Is it a love that we are worth sacrificing ourselves for, to bring other people into that love for themselves? So may he give us his power to witness to all that he is, such that we can bring him the glory. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would refine our hearts with the flame of your fire, the fire with which you have refined the hearts of millions of people, of whom we are just a few. The fire that enables us to find the eternal. The fire that provokes every heart to run towards God Almighty. Holy Spirit, remove impurities, things that are not of you, from our hearts and minds. Incline our hearts towards Christ and towards the things that are far, that are from above, and unite us in our love of our triune God. Purify our minds, align our principles to the truth of your word, and put in our hearts a sense of justice and truth and justice and mercy and compassion for the lost. Holy Spirit, please fill us and fill this place and all other places through us with your Holy Spirit presence, this and every day. Amen.